Good morning. This morning, I have a little disclaimer before we get started. We are going to embark on a particularly difficult passage in the Gospel of Mark. One that is both difficult to understand and has a bunch of imagery and things that kind of just move past us without us grabbing all of it. And so as I read this morning, we're going to pray first just to invite the Holy Spirit into this reading. God, as we come to your word today, we come here on this first Sunday of Advent seeking a word of hope. And so we ask that that word of hope might speak loud and clear through the reading of these scriptures, that it might be your word to us today. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Second disclaimer is that I'm not reading the scripture that's listed in your bulletin. I will be reading from Mark chapter 13. I will be starting with verse 3, however, and the whole Peter thing, we'll let you get to that some other time. So Mark chapter 13, beginning with verse 3. When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs. As for yourselves, beware, for they will hand you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them. And the good news must first be proclaimed to all nations. When they bring you to trial and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you are to say, but say whatever is given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be halted. You will be hated by all because of my name, because the one who endures to the end will be saved." You know what I have to say to that reading of Scripture is, Happy New Year! I had brought with me a noisemaker to be playing right now as well, but it is in my office, and I'm very disappointed about that at this moment. But seriously, today is the first day of the church calendar year. And on that day, the church says, this is the scripture that we should be reading. So again, Happy New Year. You see, the new church calendar year does not come as we might expect it on Easter, or on Pentecost, or on Christmas. And this has actually always bothered me a bit. One, because we can't remember that this is the new year, right? But second, because it just doesn't seem to really fit in a lot of different ways. But because actually on the new year, what we expect to see is this celebration of something new, something that has just come into our lives. But instead, what we hear of in what Jesus is talking to his disciples about today is all about shadows of despair, of war, of sorrow, and of hate, even between family members. This is the scripture that we are burdened with on the first day of our new year. With that being said, I'm going to pick up with verse 24. "But in those days, After that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. This scripture that we're reading today is what we call apocalyptic. Apocalyptic is those things that have to do with the end of the world. Doomsday. They are doom laden. These words are ominous to us, aren't they? They speak of a world that is dark. And I must say that it seems fitting to me today, at least to think about 2017 as a particularly dark time. In 2017, there have been four wars going on all at the same time in our world, each of which have claimed over 10,000 lives apiece. From the war that is still going on in Afghanistan and the one that is still going on in Iraq, to the civil war that is going on in Syria and has been characterized with the war on ISIS. And the one that might surprise you is that the other war that has claimed the most lives is the drug war going on just south of our border in Mexico. Each one of those wars has claimed over 10,000 lives just this past year. And of course, who can forget what's going on right now? As General McMaster said just yesterday, that the potential for war with North Korea is increasing every day. In 2017, there were more mass shootings in the United States than have ever been recorded before. To date, there have been 2,008 people killed in mass shootings. And it seems that even the planet seems to be getting in on the action, doesn't it? From Texas and the ark-like flooding that Houston experienced, to the huge hurricane season that enveloped all over the world. Just in the United States and the Caribbean alone, it's going to cost over $220 billion to recover from the hurricanes this past year. And I don't know how many of you know, because I didn't know it until I looked it up, but in this last year, we have had 10,337 earthquakes. Now, we don't hear about most of those. Most of them go on in the oceans and apart from where we live. Seven of those earthquakes have been considered major earthquakes, including one in Mexico City that's claimed over 1,000 lives. And then, of course, we still seem to be living in an election hangover, don't we? That 2016 has come into this year, and we just seem to, as a society, keep arguing and reliving what happened then. There have been more and more. Let me say that differently. We have been dealing more readily with racism in and around our culture, haven't we? That it's more out in the world around us today. And each day, it seems, that sexual assault from somebody who is popular and powerful gets called out again and again and again. This is the darkness that we live in. And so it's great that I can tell you that this year ended today. We can move forward because this is the end of your year. Or yesterday was the end of your year and you didn't see it coming, did you? And then, of course, there's the church. It seems that the church itself is being attacked from within and from without. From within our ranks, we disagree over things about belief and doctrine and what the Bible says. And from the outside, the world is calling our faith irrelevant. The church, in its influence, is shrinking all over the United States. And we see it coming, don't we? We see it happening all around us. And it's at this time that I'm reminded of a John Mayer song. That as we look out at the world, that we just seem to keep waiting on the world to change, don't we? That as we look at the world around us, we are all hoping and waiting for the world to change. That's why we're waiting. Y'all know that next line, right? You repeat after me. That's what you say, waiting. Waiting on the world to change. Yes, we're waiting. World to change. We keep waiting. When the world to change. Yes, we're waiting. And so we pray. And we ask that God would move. We ask, like the psalmist asked us today in our prayer of confession, for God to restore us, to shine God's face upon us so that we might be saved. And so today, we read on. Mark 13, verse 26. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near and at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware. Keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all. Keep awake. This is the word of the Lord. One of the things about apocalyptic literature, about world that talks about the end times, about the end of the world, is that the purpose of that literature is actually not to inspire fear or to inspire doom at all. Instead, it is meant to inspire hope. And this scripture tells of our hope as Christians. It tells us that God is coming in Christ again. He's coming on the clouds to gather up God's people. Like a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings. From the four winds, from the edge of the earth, and from the heavens, we will be gathered under God's wings. And this comes, what this scripture tells us is this comes during the shadow of darkness. When all light seems extinguished, that's when God comes. You see, we just have to look at the darkness through a different lens. Because it's precisely in the darkness when the God of grace will arrive. This is where we find God's ultimate victory. In the midst of the darkest of hours. It's precisely there that we, the church, are called to light a candle. We are called to light candles of hope and peace and joy and love against all of those shadows that would try to claim us. As this Christian New Year begins, I invite you to join hands together and to enter into the darkness that seems to surround us. To enter into that darkness waiting, singing, and praying anew for God's light to come through ever more brightly. Christ, you see, has left. And he's put his servants, us, in charge. Each of us with our assigned tasks. And we should be diligently about doing those tasks. And we should be keeping watch. Watch in the midst of the darkness for Christ to show up. For Christ's presence among us. Here, always, and the Christ who is coming in the end. That's what Advent is all about. It's the beginning. It's the beginning of expecting Christ to be here, to be in the midst of all the dark things that 2017 had to offer, and maybe the things that 2018 will offer us as well. You see, Christ enters into the darkness, into the midst of our own messed up lives, right here, right now, just like Christ came so long ago. And so our scripture tells us to be on guard, to be alert, to wait, and to watch. It was nearly 18 years ago, when Christ offered himself, when he came to this world to offer himself as a sacrifice for you and for me. It is in remembrance of this act that we will share a meal together today. And it's in remembrance of this act that we have our eternal hope placed in Jesus our Lord. This table is Christ's table. It is not the table of First Presbyterian Church, but it is the table for all who would put their trust in him. And Christ invites all of you to come and to be fed. I invite you to stand and sing with us this morning.